Today's scripture reading will be from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18.
Ready to rise as you are able.
Thank you. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw the two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned to him and said in Hebrew, "Rabunai," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Thanks be to God. Today's second scripture reading will be from the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. Then Peter began to speak to them. "I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every people, anyone who fears him and practices righteousness is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Thanks be to God.
In one of his poems, the poet Yeats calls Christ the uncontrollable mystery on the bestial floor. He is imagining the birth of Christ and calls Christ the uncontrollable mystery. I've heard a lot of names for Christ before. Jesus, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, the Morning Star, the Good Shepherd, the Bread of Life, the Messiah. But there is something powerful and primal, I think, about calling Christ the uncontrollable mystery. Perhaps it resonates with me so much because I feel a great need to control Christ, to box Christ up in a package that is easily shared with somebody else or is easily understood by somebody. So much of the work that I do seems to be putting Christ in a small enough container to be able to hand to somebody else and say, this is what you need, this is all you need. And then I read Yeats and hear that phrase, uncontrollable mystery. And all that attempt to box Christ up and control Christ all just falls apart. Because Christ is uncontrollable, and Christ is mystery. There is something powerful and frightening and wondrous and amazing in those two words, uncontrollable mystery. And if we want to encounter that Christ, if we want to encounter the Christ that is uncontrollable mystery, it requires that we let go of our need to control God. Because a lot of us, whether we know it or not, we have an inner desire to control God, to either control where God shows up, what God does, or who God will love. And to encounter a God, a Christ, who is uncontrollable mystery means we have to give up that desire to control God. The story of Good Friday might easily be the story of humanity trying to control God, trying to bury the mystery behind a great stone within a tomb. And we have done that. We have been guilty of trying to bury Christ and put the stone in front of the tomb so that we can know exactly where Christ is at all times and never let Christ get too much control over our lives. We've used different stones. We don't always use the ones that the Romans used. Sometimes we name our stone theology. Sometimes we name our stone politics. Sometimes we name our stone nationalism. Sometimes we just name our stone the way we've always done things before. Sometimes just our customs become our way of trying to control Christ. Yet on Easter, we discover every Easter again and again that each and every time that we try to bury God, to limit God, even to grasp an understanding of God, God breaks through and shows us new ways that shatter all of the limitations that we place on God. And God, every single Easter, invites us back to the mystery, the uncontrollable mystery that is Christ. Have you ever noticed in the Easter story, things happen almost step by step? The revelation never comes all at once. It always comes in bits and pieces over time. It's almost as if the fundamentals of resurrection are taught, the groundwork is laid, and then we are taught the important stuff, lesson by lesson, step by step. Let me go through that first Easter Sunday. It starts with Mary Magdalene discovering that the tomb had been opened and running to tell the disciples what had happened. Then one of the disciples, probably John, shows up at the tomb. He bends over, he looks in, and sees the grave clothes of Christ laid out. Then it is the disciple Peter who finally enters the tomb. John follows. Shortly after that, Mary sees two angels dressed in white that tell her that Christ is not there. Following that, Mary sees somebody that she assumes to be the gardener, although we are let in on the secret that this is Christ. Mary sees the gardener and asks where Christ is. Then the gardener speaks Mary's name, and a revelation happens, and she recognizes the resurrected Christ in that moment. But it took all of these steps. It took an empty tomb, it took grave clothes, it took an angelic presence, and then it took a Christ in the form of a gardener saying her name before the glory of the resurrection is even begun to be grasped. It happens step by step. And even then, even once the revelation has happened, Jesus tells Mary, "Don't cling to me." As if saying that some mysteries are so great they cannot even be grasped and held onto. Some mysteries simply need to float away from our understanding. I heard somebody the other day say that bad news shows up quickly and good news takes the scenic route. I don't remember the context, but there's enough bad news in our world that I could probably imagine one context or another. But I was thinking about that in terms of what happens on Good Friday and then what happens on Easter. The death of Christ happens relatively quickly. In just a few short hours, Christ is killed on the cross. The news travels quickly. Everybody knows what has happened. It is a public affair. The death of Christ happens quickly. The bad news happens quickly. The resurrection takes the scenic route. It happens slowly, a series of small revelations to a few people here and there, and then the story begins to spread. The good news is almost like a living thing that needs to be cared for and tended in order for it to grow and thrive. Perhaps most telling, Mary mistakes the resurrected Christ for the gardener, the one who is in charge of tending living and growing things. Mary goes to the tomb that day expecting death. She leaves having experienced the exact opposite. Mary goes early on the first day of the week, that first Resurrection Sunday. She goes to the tomb where the body had been placed. She does not go expecting a miracle. She journeyed there as a mourner, as one who is going to be in the presence of death. But by the time she gets there, something had already happened. In the darkness, in a sealed tomb, resurrection had taken place. It was unobserved. It was unheralded. There were no trumpet blasts. There were no choirs from heaven. Resurrection was a quiet affair. Something that happened in the stillness and the darkness. It was nothing like crucifixion. Crucifixion happened in the public eye. Rome wanted, but better said, Rome needed its power to be displayed. Its power to kill anyone it chose. It needed that power on display so everyone could see it. God had no such need for a public display. God's power was revealed not publicly as a crucifixion was, but quietly, silently. And yet it is the resurrection that brings us here today, not the power of the empire. By the time Mary leaves the tomb, her life has been changed completely. Death has been overcome with life. Hope had begun to work its way into despair. And something new was being born in the lives of everyone who was witnessing the resurrection. An opportunity for something new was upon the disciples, was upon Mary, and is upon us today. For those who have been journeying with us throughout the Lenten season, you will know that we have been talking about the lament. Those deep feelings, those painful feelings that we bear to God. Mary goes to the tomb lamenting. Her journey to the tomb is not unlike any of the other stories that we've been sharing for the last several weeks. A broken heart that feels like it may never be made whole again. I bet a lot of us know what that feels like. A lot of us know what it feels like to wonder if the broken hearts that we have will ever be healed again. But at the tomb, Mary is reminded of the same thing we are reminded of every Easter. That a God who conquered the power of an empire with love, the God who conquered despair with the power of hope, the God who conquered death with life itself, can turn our laments, can turn our very lives into an opportunity for something new to grow. I shared my flower pot with the children earlier, and each one of you has a piece of seed paper in your bulletin. I know a couple fell out. If yours fell out and you would like another piece, see me. I've got some extras here, or you can probably find some on the floor where they fell out. But if you go home today and write something that you hope grows, something that you hope grows in your life, in your family, in our church, in our community, in our world, a hope that you have for something to grow, write that on your piece of paper and plant it. I was told that these are northeastern wildflowers. I haven't grown any yet, so I don't know if that's true. You might want to plant it inside, water it, get some sunlight, see what grows. Take a picture of what grows and share it with the church. Let's see what our hopes can grow. And we don't just need to do it in a flower pot. We can do it in all parts of our lives. We can plant seeds of hope and see what grows from them. We can do that in our families. We're doing that in the church. We can do that in our community because we are a people who are dedicated, enthused, you might even say, by building new bridges of care within the church and outside of the church with our community. We are imagining as a community new ways to live our mission beyond our walls. And we are inviting the whole of our community to see that we are not a religion that is sealed in a tomb. We are not a people who are dead and dying. We are an Easter people. We are a people who are desired to be alive and growing, changing hearts and changing lives. Easter is our reminder as a church that we are brushing up against the uncontrollable mystery of Christ. And when we brush up against the uncontrollable mystery of Christ, amazing things begin to happen. They're uncontrollable things. They're mysterious things. They're putting us out of our comfort zone. They're making us open up to people and places that otherwise we may have wanted to shut our doors to. But when we brush up against that uncontrollable mystery of Christ, we are being an Easter people. We're not clinging too tightly, though. Jesus tells Mary, don't cling to me. Sometimes when we cling to something too tightly, we get stuck. Sometimes when we cling to the way we've always done things too tightly, we get stuck. Sometimes when we cling to our small definitions of community or family or friendship, we get stuck. So we're not going to cling too tightly. We're going to know that there is work to be done. And we're going to brush up against the mystery of Christ to invite us to imagine new and amazing ways to bring the mission that we have been given, not just into the church, but beyond the church, into our community and into our world. We are going to be the living, breathing presence of the uncontrollable mystery to a people in great need of a little more uncontrollable mystery. Let's be in an attitude of prayer. Break through this morning, O holy God. The tomb could not contain you. Sometimes we think we can. Sometimes we think that we can box you up, O God, bury you only in those places where we are comfortable. And yet, each Easter, you've reminded us that you break free. Holy God, as we brush up against your mystery today, sweep us along. Bring us into amazing new ministry. Encourage us, empower us, and give us that grace to know that it's okay to go along with you. In Christ I pray. Amen.